Hello, this is Dave with the News Gazette for Saturday, Sunday edition, August 15th and 16th, 2026. We'll begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Back on the Ballot. Champaign School District, Back on the Ballot, Unit 4, Seeking $192 Million Facilities Referendum, but without raising tax rate. This article is by Jeff D'Alessio, Champaign. 10 years after voters signed off on a $183.4 million request that kept Central and paid for two new elementary buildings, the Champaign School District is poised to place another nine-figure referendum on November's ballot. Only this one doesn't come with a property tax hike, similar to the approach Mohammed Seymour will take in the same November 3 election. Unit 4 is preparing to ask voters permission to issue $192 million in bonds to be paid off over the next 20 years without any change to the district's tax rate. On Monday night, in his third meeting as superintendent, Giovanni Ponce will formally ask the board that hired him in February to approve the placement of a referendum he says would help him deliver on his promise to, quote, provide a first-class education to every student in the district, unquote. It would address three shortcomings highlighted by the district's 27-person facilities committee after 6 months of studying Unit 4's most pressing issues. Old and overcrowded middle schools, which Ponce is requesting $152 million to rebuild and reimagine, in addition to building a new Franklin at its existing site and making significant upgrades at Jefferson. The district would add a fourth standalone middle school at a location to be determined. Some of our kids are not being exposed to new technology. It's imperative that they are, new Superintendent Giovanni Ponce says. In 2014, then Superintendent Judy Weigarn stands on the undeveloped farmland along Interstate Drive the district spent $3.2 million on, hoping to build a new Central High School there. A dozen years later, it remains untouched. Says current school board president Tony Bruno, "We can't forget we have 80 acres. We are going to be strategic about what we do with those 80 acres. Another $13 million would go toward implementing many of the 100-plus special education improvements recommended by a consultant following months-long 2025 audit of the district's services. At a cost of $26 million, health and life safety-related improvements would bring a new HVAC system to Garden Hills Academy and a middle school addition to the International Prep Academy building that opened in 2022. President Tony Bruno is confident that the school board he leads will give its blessing to Ponce's request and equally optimistic that the right talent is now in place to make Unit 4 a destination district, but not without the referendum. A district with 8 portable classrooms outside 2 cramped middle schools, he contends, will have a tough time luring the new cardiologist at Carl who's moving his family and trying to decide, am I going to live in Mohammed? Am I going to live in Monticello or St. Joe? If we have better schools, Bruno says, we will attract families who would otherwise live in the periphery. Here's a closer look at the project list district officials believe they can complete by 2030, if enough homeowners say yes, between September 24, when early voting begins, and November 3, election day. Middle schools. In the early 2010s, Unit 4 opened the new Carey Busey in Savoy, rebuilt and reinvented Booker T. Washington and Garden Hills Academies, and used 1 cent county sales tax revenue to upgrade Boughton Field, Kenwood, Robeson, and Westview Elementaries. In 2016, the passage of the most expensive referendum in Champaign County history led to new buildings at Dr. Howard and International Prep, an extreme makeover of Central High School, an expansion renovation of Centennial, and improvements at Edison and Southside. It's time now to focus on the middle schools to make sure they're brought up to the standards of the other schools, says Elizabeth Stegmeier, Unit 4's Director of Capital Planning and Projects. During an hour-long discussion with district officials this week, the most mentioned phrase was, get rid of the trailers, as in the 8 portable outdoor structures used to hold classes that won't fit inside Franklin and Jefferson. According to district data, Unit 4 was 110 middle school students over capacity last school year. Franklin, built for 525 students, had 646. Jefferson, built for 690 students, had 704. Edison, built for 690 students, had 665. We've had kids who have done their entire middle school careers in trailers for years, Bruno said. It's a matter of safety as well, Ponce added. What if a tornado comes through? Bruno wondered aloud. It's just no way to operate for a city like ours, with this world-class institution of higher learning just down the street. Jefferson was built in 1960. Franklin is even older, opening in 1953. Just think about how we used to educate 73 years ago and how we educate now, Ponce said. Franklin is probably one of the oldest schools I have ever visited in my 28 years in education. We are not giving middle schoolers the opportunity to have a quality education when you see science labs that are totally obsolete, and that's a STEM academy. The district's solution to middle school overcrowding includes adding a fourth standalone building with a capacity of 600. Edison, Franklin, and Jefferson would also be rebuilt or refit to hold 600. Tack on another 250 dual language students in grades 6 through 8 at International Prep Academy, and Unit 4 would have 2,650 middle school seats, more than enough to accommodate projected enrollment for years to come, Stegmeier says. We're going to go up, we're going to go down from year to year, she said, but 2,500 is what we think we need. The 18th school. The district has not secured a spot for a fourth middle school, Bruno says, but at least one has been all but ruled out. The 80 acres of undeveloped farmland the district bought for $3.2 million on Interstate Drive in North Champaign is not a likely option for the middle school to be named later. For one, Bruno says, the farmland takes a lot of money to put in basic infrastructure, roads, curb, and gutter, and sewer. Strike two, population isn't growing north of town, where we own 80 acres purchased by a former school board 12 years ago, 3 superintendents and 2 failed referenda ago, in hope that it would be home to a new Central High School. People are moving to the south of Champaign, and that's where we see continued growth, Bruno said. All 3 of our current middle schools are pretty tightly located in the old part of town. I think the ideal location for a new middle school would be south of the central part of the city, where we have a population center, but no middle school. The new middle school would require 20 to 25 contiguous acres, Stegmeier says. If any landowner wants to participate in brightening the future of thousands of Unit 4 children, Bruno said, they should contact the school district. Special education. A district families committee made up of community members, educators, architects, staff, union representatives, and two school board members had most of the heavy lifting done for it on the topic of special education. Last July, 7 months before the committee's first meeting, consultant Dan Cates shared the findings of his audit of all things special education in Unit 4. It was 90 pages long and packed with recommendations, major and minor, more than 100 of them in all. The audit was mandated as part of a settlement agreement on behalf of a Unit 4 student with disabilities. It exposed shortcomings. Students received grades of a D or F at a higher rate than their non-disabled classmates, highlighted decisions that led to destabilizing outcomes. Former Superintendent Sheila Boozer's overhaul of special education administrators in 2023, and painted a picture of a system in need of an overhaul. Dr. Cates recommended we consider clustering self-contained programs, among other facilities improvements, Stegmaier said. So we did a special education facility study to specifically address his recommendations. The recommendations that came out of the special education facility study are leading directly to the SPED improvements that we have in this project list. Rather than offer every program at every school, we can't staff that, Stegmaier said. The committee recommended Kate's clustering approach where different services are offered at different schools, mindful of middle and high school feeder patterns. Upgrades to school buildings, including Edison, will be made throughout the district, elementary all the way through high school, Stegmaier said, with a primary focus on the self-contained programs and a continuum of care. So no matter what elementary school you start at, we have a plan for you to continue to go to middle school for that care and then on to high school. Long overdue, Bruno said. There's one last missing piece of the special education puzzle that would likely come long before any construction happens. I look forward to Dr. Ponce and his administration hiring a strong director of special education who will lead the work of serving students receiving special education services and creating the spaces they require to receive appropriate educational opportunities, said Amy Armstrong, one of two school board representatives on the facilities committee. A bigger IPA, referendum or no referendum, state law mandates that the district must fix building code violations that sprung up during 10-year inspections of two Unit 4 schools. Garden Hills will need a new HVAC system and mechanical upgrades installed by 2030. By 2029, the older of International Prep Academy's two buildings needs new everything. Its inspection turned up more than $11 million worth of fixes that would cost $13 million to complete, Stegmaier said. Rather than fix the West Kirby Avenue structure that was built during the Eisenhower administration and updated in 1967, the Facilities Committee recommended the district spend $7 million more, demolish the old school, and add a junior high wing to the four-year-old $24.3 million building that sits behind it. For $20 million, we can put on an addition and build the middle school the way it should be built, and those students don't have to go back and forth two times a day for lunch and gym like they're going now between the elementary school and the middle school, Stegmaier said. And it's a brand new building, Bruno added, not a 50-year-old lipstick on a pig situation. Why didn't the district build IPA as a K-8 structure with the approximately $270 million it wound up spending on six schools and two sets of fields during the last referendum? Because that was a new program, Stegmaier said. There was not a dual language middle school at the time. The program has just grown and grown and grown. Continuing inside the front page, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rossall. Atwood's Raja Memorial Park hasn't always been a glorious tribute to community pride. Back in her day as an Atwood Hammond student, Marcia Bergener, class of 68, remembers its location as the Pea Patch, a grassy plot where the football boys and band would practice, she said. Today, it's eye candy. It's very, very nice. At 5 p.m. Friday, to coincide with the start of the Apple Dumpling Festival, the completion of 6-year-old Raja Memorial Park will be celebrated at a dedication ceremony for its latest addition, the Gazillion. A mix of gazebo and pavilion, it's a space to sit and reflect on the history of Atwood Hammond High School and local veterans who served our nation or made the ultimate sacrifice during their military service. No one's happier about it than Bergener, who's been part of the park's planning since day one. Considering her background, raised in Garrett, lives in Hammond, knowledge, Atwood Hammond librarian for 36 years, interest, genealogy, and enthusiasm, mighty high for a 75-year-old, Bergener was a perfect pick to serve on the Raja Memorial Park Committee. The group, which includes Doris Elmore, Ken Caraway, Vanessa Curry, and Kent Brown, worked with the area businesses and volunteers like Jarena and Dale Hamill to bring the park to life. It will be turned over to the village after next weekend's festivities. We feel like we've done what we set out to do, and that's to make it a place people can come and enjoy, she said. It's been a pleasure and a journey, but now I need a break. And in history, area history, in 1926, a collision at Green and Wright Streets between a streetcar driven by motorman Roy Tatlock and a Packard sedan driven by Mrs. Morris L. Hecker of Champaign tied up streetcar traffic on the Oregon line for more than an hour. The crash broke the door and 3 windows of the streetcar, but no one in it was injured. The Packard, however, was a total loss. All 6 occupants, Mrs. Hecker, her mother, a sister, her 2 children, and a young family friend, were all badly bruised and received numerous lacerations from flying glass. In 1976, the U of I Colleges of Agriculture and Veterinary Medicine have announced Food for Century 3, an 8-year plan to expand and upgrade research facilities and buy new land for experimental plots. Ag Dean Orville Bentley said the U of I has fallen far behind other major land grant schools in terms of facilities for agricultural research. In 2011, Alex Bratton has founded 10 technology companies, and he's intent on bringing some of them to Champaign-Urbana. Bratton, a University of Illinois alumnus who describes himself as half geek and half entrepreneur, says he's eager to establish more ties with campus. Last week, one of his companies, Lyle-based LexTech Global Services, announced it would open an office in the Enterprise Building in the U of I Research Park. Initially, it will employ a team of 6, and Bratton said he hopes to add more teams down the road. The initial team will create mobile applications for businesses and other enterprises. Using those applications, clients could summon a wealth of information on smartphones and other mobile devices. In international history, today's highlight, on August 15, 1969, the Woodstock Music and Art Fair opened in upstate New York. More than 460,000 people attended the 3-day festival, which would become a watershed event in American music and culture. And on this date in 1057, Macbeth, King of Scots, was killed in battle by Malcolm, the eldest son of King Duncan, whom Macbeth had killed 17 years earlier. Continuing with community news, we have from the Champaign County State's Attorney, article titled, Champaign Man, 24, Charged with Having Child Porn. This article is by Luke Taylor, Urbana. A Champaign man has been charged with 6 counts of possessing child pornography after police received a tip about his online account. Prosecutors did not request detention for Alexander Hernandez, 24, but he will be required to comply with conditions of release and appear in court through the resolution of his case. State's attorney, Julia Reitz, said that the National Center for Missing and Endangered Children sent a tip to Champaign Police in August of 2024 regarding child pornography located on a KIK account. KIK is an online messaging and group chat application similar to WhatsApp. Champaign Police obtained a warrant for the account and found child pornography on it, Reitz said. Then went to Hernandez's address and found him. He gave a statement admitting that he downloaded that content from that platform. Official charges from the state's attorney's office were only handed down this week because the case was not delivered to the office until then. Hernandez was arraigned on Friday. Reitz said that Hernandez was hospitalized following the initial investigation, which likely contributed to the longer timeline in handling the case, as he was only officially arrested on Thursday. Hernandez stands accused of 6 counts of possessing photos of a victim under the age of 13. The charge is a Class 2 felony, punishable with a fine of up to $100,000 and a prison sentence of 3 to 7 years, to be followed by 2 years of mandatory supervised release, also known as parole. Hernandez is due back in court next month and is currently represented by the Public Defender's Office. And from the Danville Police, an article titled, Shooting of 36-Year-Old Under Investigation. This is by Jennifer Bailey, Danville. Police continue to investigate Thursday's shooting of a 36-year-old man. At 1:32 a.m. that day, officers responded to the 1700 block of North Franklin Street for a report of multiple shots fired. Upon arrival, officers located the victim, who had suffered multiple gunshot wounds. The victim, whom police have yet to identify, was taken to an area hospital where he remains in critical condition. After an investigation of the scene, police said they located evidence that led them to believe the incident occurred at a home in the 200 block of Swisher Avenue. A search warrant was secured and contact was made with a resident by the police department's emergency response unit. The resident cooperated and further evidence was gathered. Police said at this time there is no ongoing threat to the public. Anyone with information is encouraged to contact Danville Police at 217-431-2250, or if wishing to remain anonymous, Vermilion County Crime Stoppers at 217-446-8477 or vccrimestoppers.org or via the free P3 Tips mobile app. And on Interstate 57, article titled Chicago Woman Dies in Crash Near Ludlow. This is by Jana Wersema. Ludlow. A Chicago woman died Friday following an early morning crash involving multiple vehicles on Interstate 57 near Ludlow. Elise Tolar, 69, was pronounced dead at 7:03 a.m. at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana, said Champaign County Coroner Lori Brower. An autopsy has been scheduled and the accident remains under investigation by the Illinois State Police. The crash took place at 12:44 a.m., the coroner's office said. And from Kathy Reiser's mailbag, a question is, when will Picara make its move to downtown? And is the Prospect and Springfield location going away for sure? Co-owner Lauren Brokish said, we're all so excited for the new space. It is going to be amazing. We are targeting October 1 for opening adjacent to Martinelli's Market, another business owned by Lauren and Jeffrey Brockish at 500 North Walnut in Champaign. The build-out of the new space is well underway. As for Picara's current location at Prospect and Springfield, yes, it is closing, Brockish said. But I hear word that another very wonderful local business may be moving in behind us. And the next question was, Julie markings were made in my backyard and then my neighbor's yard, but I'm not having any work done. Is there a way I can look up what kind of work is to be completed on or near my property? Kevin Schmira, a spokesperson for the Joint Utilities Locating Information for Excavator Service, said that each year, Julie receives and processes more than 1.6 million locate requests from professional excavators and homeowners throughout Illinois. Julie does not serve the City of Chicago, which has its own utility marking service. He provided a link to general information the reader and others may find useful when markings are made on or near their property. IllinoisOneCall.com/DigSafeIllinoisLanding. To address a common misconception, please note that Julie personnel do not mark or locate any underground utility lines. We are a notification service. We receive the request and send the information to the appropriate member utilities. It is their responsibility to locate and mark their lines, and in this case, to inform the reader about when they are on the property, if needed. Often, those markings are made by third-party contractors engaged by the utilities. Schmira said, here's no publicly available database people can consult to find out what utilities will be working in their neighborhood. Instead, he suggested the reader who posed the question contact Julie's local damage prevention manager and provide their address. Roger Watwood is the damage prevention manager who mainly covers the Champaign-Urbana area and southern Illinois. He can do a search and provide information about markings the reader had not personally requested. Watwood may be contacted by phone at 217-299-5977 or by email at rwatwood@julieonecall.com. Always contact Julie before digging in Illinois, Schmira advises. Our notification center is open 24/7, 365. Your readers can simply call either 811 or 800-892-0123 or enter your own online locate request at juliebeforeyoudig.com. This is a free service. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the News Gazette for the Saturday-Sunday edition of August 15th and 16th, 2026. Please stay tuned.